What was the creative process for this production? What was your fascination with Edward R. Murrow?
Well, it really goes back to my student days. I was a student at the Columbia University Graduate School of Journalism in the early 80s, and I'm a journalist by training. Mm-hmm. And one of my professors at the school was Fred Friendly, who had been Edward R. Murrow's producer and collaborator, you know, back in the 40s and 50s. And Fred taught a course called Media Law and Society, and he would tell long stories and these fascinating reminiscences about working with Murrow, and especially the lead up to the famous McCarthy broadcast of 1954. And I remember sitting there thinking, my goodness, God, this would be a great play. And, you know, I had been also kind of a budding playwright. I had gone to the HB studio in New York to study playwriting. And so I was kind of oriented to the theater to begin with. And so I, my first thought was, let's have a play. Let me write a play with a lot of characters, and maybe Fred would be a character. But the more I thought about this, the more I thought, you know, this would be a terrific one-man show, because as one of the greatest communicators of all time, I think Edward R. Murrow as a character would really command the stage. And I love the idea of him telling his story and his life story kind of one-on-one to the audience. So that's kind of the genesis of the play. And I actually circulated in the later 80s, and a very famous producer, David Susskind, actually got the play and wanted to produce it for PBS. And I worked with Mr. Susskind for about a year in his efforts to produce it for public broadcasting. And unfortunately, that never came about, but I was able to meet him through the process. And also, he put me in touch with Mrs. Murrow, Edward R. Murrow's wife, who was still living at the time, and she actually got to read the script and made some changes in it. So I really feel blessed that I was able to work with those people back in the that period of time. And I then put the script away for many years, went on to write other plays and do other things, but I decided to resurrect it now because I thought the time was right. The media just seems to be as much of the story now as the story it covers. So I just thought the time was right to bring this play back.
How would you describe kind of like the flavor of this? I mean, this is no joke. These are very serious times that Murrow is doing his work in, and you know, you've got the McCarthy scare. This is not a comedy, you know? So can you just kind of discuss like the feelings that the audience should have, and then the feelings that you want the audience to have while they're watching?
Well, the play kind of, you know, it takes him through his life, and especially his political career, or his journalism career, I should say, from the London broadcast during the 40s, when he covered the bombing, through the Blitz, through his unforgettable broadcast at Buchenwald. He was the first radio reporter, broadcast reporter, to actually do a broadcast from a Nazi concentration camp that was just liberated, and it's absolutely chilling. Two, of course, as you said, the famous McCarthy broadcast of 1954. So I wanted to give the audience a feel for the scope of his life, the incredible, you know, influence that he had on both radio broadcasting and TV. He was that unique figure who was really at the beginning, the genesis of both radio news reporting and television news reporting, and really shaped the development of both of those media. But the real feeling, I think, Patrick, that I'd like feeling people to take away is an incredible man, his unbelievable integrity, and his incredible courage. And one of the things we can't forget is that when he decided to take on Joe McCarthy in 1954, he was really risking his entire career. Mm-hmm. I mean, McCarthy was that powerful. And he laid it on the line. He kind of rolled the dice because he believed that when you see evil, it has to be confronted, regardless of the personal cost. So I really feel I'd love the audience to not only have an appreciation for his career, but the influence that he had on those media. And really, he speaks to us today, because those subjects of journalistic integrity, objectivity, everything we talk about today in news coverage. I read a recent report, you might have read it too, in the paper a couple of days ago, but journalism is at an all-time low. Mm-hmm. In terms of how the public views reporters and journalism, and the public by and large has lost faith in the integrity and the truthfulness and the objectivity of journalists. And that's a very sad thing, and that's kind of the mirror opposite of what Edward R. Murrow stood for.
That's great, because you kind of just bridged right into the next question that I wanted to ask you. What do you think Murrow would say about the current state of journalism?
I think he'd be appalled. I think he'd be appalled for a couple of reasons. One of the things he always argued against and was very, very conscious of was he did not want to see journalism bleed over into entertainment. He believed there should be a brick wall between entertainment and journalism, and he didn't believe that the values of entertainment or the pressure of entertainment should in any way affect how journalists did their job. In fact, he was one who argued that they shouldn't even sell airtime on news programs. Wow. That the corporate networks, and especially the great profits that they realized in doing their entertainment, should actually underwrite the news coverage. So I think when you think about how journalism has taken on, in many cases, the values of entertainment, stories are done sometimes for their shock value. Sure. And also, I think he'd be appalled in this current presidential race by how the news media seems to be all about covering personalities, outrageous statements, salacious remarks, and not drilling down deeply into what the policies of these people are in detail and what those policies would mean for the country. There's very little of that. I think he'd also be shocked and appalled to see Donald Trump getting, 75% of every hour of coverage, and the other candidates getting very little. So, I'm pretty confident he'd be pretty shocked and appalled.
Considering how important this play is to not only journalism today, but also, I mean, to you, it's been a project that's been in the pipeline for 30 years. How do you want people to look back on this? Like, if someone, because, people see plays all the time, and they always, oh, I remember this play, and they'll throw, like, a sentence, out and stuff. A couple of years from now, someone that saw this play, what do you want them to take away? What do you want them to tell somebody else? Oh, I saw Murrow. What do you want them to say?
I want them to say that, I didn't realize, I didn't really know the man and everything he did, and I was absolutely stunned and moved by his integrity and courage, and he really is one of the giants, not only in broadcasting, but I think in American history. But secondly, I want them to come out of the theater and say, gosh, I can't believe how, even though we're talking about a guy who's been dead for over 50 years, I can't believe how he's speaking to this moment in time right now. And I can't believe some of the things he said and some of the things he believed actually came true. So he has this ability to bridge the gap. We see a lot of plays that are great, biographies, you can see a play about Thomas Jefferson or a play about Winston Churchill, and they kind of speak to their time. Mm-hmm. I think the great thing about Murrow, one of the stunning things about Murrow, is how he seems to have bridged the years, and what he says is as topical today as it was 50 years ago, and I'd love people to come out with that sense.